Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another deep dive with Living Word.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
And today we're going to be looking at chapter 8 of Steps to Christ.
Growing up into Christ.
Yeah, exactly. And this is one that I think is really going to resonate with a lot of our listeners.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, who doesn't want to grow as a Christian, right?
Exactly. And I think this chapter really lays out some really practical ways to do that and really kind of digs deep into what that looks like.
Yeah. And I think right away, this chapter kind of throws a wrench into that whole, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps idea of spiritual growth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not about gritting our teeth and just trying harder.
Yeah.
It's about connecting to a source of growth that's way bigger than ourselves.
Yeah. I love that. And she uses this really vivid analogy right at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Comparing us to plants needing sunlight and water.
It's such a powerful image, isn't it?
It is, because it really kind of highlights that dependence, right?
Yeah.
Like a plant can't force itself to grow.
Right.
We can't muscle our way into spiritual maturity.
Nope. You can't willpower your way into it.
So what is our sunlight and water, so to speak? What is that nourishment that we need?
Yeah, well, that's where this whole concept of abiding in Christ comes in.
Okay.
And, you know, this isn't just some fancy theological term. It's really the heart of how we grow.
Okay.
And I think sometimes we think of it as like a one-time decision.
Right. Like, I decided to follow Jesus and now I'm good.
Exactly. But it's so much more than that. It's like a constant connection.
So more like a constant state of being.
Yes, exactly. It's like that vine you see growing up the side of a building, clinging on for dear life. But even deeper than that, it's drawing life from what it's connected to.
It's not just clinging. It's like it's being fed.
It's being nourished. Yeah. And for us, that vine is Christ.
Okay.
And the life that flows through him, that's what makes us thrive spiritually.
Okay. So without that connection,
we're
basically trying to grow a plant in a dark closet.
Exactly. We wither. We can't survive without that constant connection.
And she even quotes Jesus in this chapter. Saying, without me, you can do nothing.
That's a powerful statement.
Yeah, it is. And it feels pretty stark.
Yeah.
You know, like, are we really that helpless?
It's less about being helpless and more about recognizing the source of our strength.
Okay.
You know, even the things that we think we accomplish on our talents, our good deeds, all of that stems from the gifts that God has given us in the first place.
Yeah, it's like we're acknowledging the origin of that power.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then there's this other piece of it that I think is really interesting.
Okay.
Which is that resting in Christ doesn't mean being inactive.
Right. It's not about just sitting back and letting God handle everything.
No, it's not passive?
No, not at all. In fact, it's the fuel for everything we do.
Okay. So explain that a little bit more.
So it's like a tree drawing water in order to produce fruit.
Okay, so the tree's not trying to produce fruit.
Right.
It's just a natural result of it.
Exactly. It's very nature, because it's connected to that source of life.
Okay.
Leads to fruitfulness.
Okay, so the more connected we are, the more fruitful we are.
It's a natural outflow of that connection.
So it's not something we have to strive for.
Right. It's a result of the connection.
It's a result of the connection. Okay, so now,
but there's a catch.
Uh-oh.
There's always a catch, right?
There's always a catch.
And this is where the chapter takes a bit of a turn.
Okay.
We've got this enemy, Satan.
Right.
Who wants to sever that connection at any cost.
At any cost.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that, I guess, in the next segment.
We'll have to pick that up next time.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. So we left off with this image of Satan trying to sever our connection with Christ.
Yeah. He's not going to make it easy for us, is he?
No, not at all. So how does he do that? What's his strategy?
Well, you know, he's had a lot of practice over the millennia.
Yeah, I guess so.
And he's gotten pretty good at it. But I think one of his main strategies is to really get into our minds.
Okay.
You know, he wants to fill our thoughts with worries and doubts and comparisons.
Oh, yeah.
All those things that really pull our focus away from Christ.
It's like he knows exactly which buttons to push.
Oh, he does. He absolutely does. He knows our weaknesses.
And sometimes it feels like a losing battle.
Right.
You know, like you just get bombarded with all these negative thoughts. And
yeah.
It's like, how do you even fight against that?
Well, I think Ellen White really hits the nail on the head when she talks about where we choose to fix our gaze.
Okay.
You know, if we're constantly looking inward at our own flaws and failures, it's like We're just giving Satan more ammunition.
We're agreeing with him, basically.
We're basically confirming all his lies, you know. You're not good enough.
Yeah.
You'll never measure up. You might as well just give up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly how it feels sometimes.
Right. But when we shift our focus to Jesus, to his perfect life, to his boundless love, to his victory over sin and death, that's when the enemy starts to lose his power.
It's like looking to the hills, you know?
Yeah.
Where does my help come from?
Exactly.
My help comes from the Lord.
Our help comes from the Lord, not from ourselves, not from our own efforts.
Not from our own, yeah, frantic efforts to be good enough.
Exactly. And that's why she emphasizes this idea of looking to Jesus as a constant practice.
Constantly.
Constantly. You know, she even talks about the early disciples and how they were so immersed in Christ's presence.
Right. They were literally.
Literally right there with him.
Walking and talking with him every day.
Soaking up his teachings. And
yes. And they just naturally radiated his character.
Okay. But how is that even realistic for us today?
That's a great question.
You know, we've got jobs. We've got families.
Right.
Responsibilities. You know, it's not like we can just drop everything and follow Jesus around.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think the principle is still the same.
Okay.
It's about cultivating that constant connection with Christ, even amidst all the busyness of life.
Okay, so how do we do that?
Well, it starts with recognizing that utter dependence on him.
Okay.
You know, we can't just sit around and hope that we'll get enough sunlight and water.
Yeah, we've got to
be intentional about putting ourselves in the right conditions to grow.
So we've got to actively seek out those nutrients.
Seek out those nutrients
for our souls.
Exactly. And the chapter points to some key practices.
Okay. What are those?
Spending time in nature.
Okay.
Immersing ourselves in God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Pouring out our hearts to him in prayer.
So it's about creating these habits.
Yes.
These rhythms.
Yes. Rhythms and routines that keep us connected to the vine.
All right. So we've talked about this idea of connecting with Christ.
Yeah.
And you know, creating these habits, these rhythms in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the practical things that we can do?
Yeah, well, she highlights a few key practices, and one that really stood out to me was spending time in nature.
Okay.
And it's not just about, like, getting fresh air. It's about connecting with God through what he's created.
I love that. And it's so easy to forget.
Right.
Especially if you live in a busy city.
Yeah.
To just kind of stop and notice the trees or the sky or the beauty of nature.
Yeah. And she's saying that even just that can remind us of God's presence.
It kind of shifts our perspective a little bit.
It shifts our perspective, exactly. And then, of course, they're studying God's word.
Yeah.
Which isn't just reading, you know. It's about really absorbing it, letting it shape us.
Yeah. And this makes me think about those folks who, like, memorize whole chapters of the Bible.
Yeah.
I've always admired that, but never thought I could do it.
Right.
Is that what she means by immersing ourselves in Scripture?
Well, it can be that for some people, but I think it's more about the quality of our engagement with the Bible.
You know,
She talks about pondering those words, really letting them simmer in our minds and hearts.
So not just speed reading through a chapter.
Right. Not just checking it off the list.
Yeah.
But really taking the time to sit with it.
Maybe picking a verse or two and just really meditating on it.
Exactly. Journaling about it, praying over it.
Yeah.
Discussing it with someone else.
Having those conversations. Yeah.
That's how God's word starts to work its way into our lives.
Okay, so we've got time in nature.
Mm-hmm.
We've got spending time in God's word. What else?
And then, of course, there's prayer.
Okay.
And she describes it so beautifully as the opening of the heart to God as to a friend.
I love that.
It's such a beautiful image.
Yeah.
And it really takes the formality out of it.
It does.
You know, it's not about impressing God with our eloquence.
Right. It's not about.
It's about raw honesty.
Yeah. Just talking to him like you would a friend.
Exactly. Telling him our joys and fears, the things that we're struggling with.
And also being open to hearing what he has to say back to us.
Yes. That's so important. It's a two-way conversation.
Yeah. It is a conversation.
Yeah. And the chapter also emphasizes something I think we often miss.
Okay.
The importance of sharing our faith with others.
Oh, yeah.
And not in a pushy way.
Right.
But letting that connection with Christ shine through our actions.
It's like that quote, preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary.
Exactly. It's about our lives becoming a reflection of what we believe.
Okay.
And it can start, you know, a kind word to a stranger.
Yeah.
Helping someone in need, just being genuinely present with people.
Those little things.
Those little things can speak volumes.
So it's like we're creating this space in our lives for Christ to work.
Exactly. And as he does, our lives naturally start to bear fruit.
And it's not because we're striving for it.
Okay.
It's because we're connected to the vine.
It's a natural outflow of that connection.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's something that's really encouraging to remember is that even when we mess up, even when we feel far from God, that connection is still there.
It's still there.
We just need to turn back to him.
Yes.
Acknowledge our need and let his grace do its work.
That's the beauty of grace.
Yeah.
We're not in this alone.
And that's really, I think, the message of this chapter.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, growing up in Christ is not about striving and struggling in our own strength.
It's about surrendering to his strength.
And letting him transform us.
From the inside out.
And that's a process.
It is a process.
It's a journey.
It's a journey.
With ups and downs.
Absolutely.
But we don't have to go it alone.
They have each other. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us.
So to everyone listening out there, don't just read the words of this chapter. Experience them.
Yes.
Try out these practices. Mm. See how they change your connection with God. And let's keep growing together.
Beautifully said, growing up into Christ is a lifelong journey. But it's a journey worth taking. And the rewards are beyond measure.
Absolutely. Thanks for diving deep with us today.
It's been a pleasure.